know he's Peter Pan. He doesn't know who he is. And the Lost Boys, they call him, right? My name is Matt. They know, they see him. They know who he is. And one of these clumsy boys, you know, he's kind of an awkward fella in the movie. He goes up to Peter and he's doing this in his face. And he starts doing this and squeezing him and doing this. And then he looks in his eyes and all of a sudden the boy goes, oh, there he is! It's one of the greatest scenes of the movie, I think. And it's like, you're in there. And sometimes we don't see it ourselves. That Holy Spirit just touching you. You know that the Father's looking at you all the time like that? Oh, if you would just, you know, we're all distracted. We look at the mess. We look at the noise. We look at the chaos. And we're so distracted by that, we can't enjoy this, right? And but the moment when you can make the noise go away, the moment when you can step out of the chaos and realize I can live right here in the midst of this, enjoying this relationship with them. That's why, by the way, that's not my word, but it's like, that's why it's so, the story of Jesus in the boat in the storm, and all the disciples are going, we're going to die. And where's Jesus? What's he doing? What's he doing? He's asleep. He's asleep in the midst of the storm because it's like he's not fretting about the chaos out there. He's not fretting by what this thing is. They're so like, this is it. We're done. And just to be able to experience peace in the middle of crazy, I think is just an incredible lesson. So anyway, You know, I'll never stop telling you this. The two greatest questions that should always be before you. It's on your journey, that's like, just always keep these questions in front of you. It's like, who is God?
Right.
Who is God? And that's not a one-dimensional answer, by the way. Because sometimes, you know, it's like, because we see there's God the Father, and we experience him that way. That's the one why Jesus came, by the way, because we didn't know him as Father. But there's Jesus, right? And the greatest part of Jesus was seeing how the Son experiences the Father.
Right.
Right? And how the Son can not experience the Father, but in the midst of crazy, right? There's more to that story. But also Holy Spirit, right? Who's constantly coming in to remind you who he is and who you are.
Right.
Right? The Holy Spirit who comes in to like infuse you with this enabling presence. Right? But it's really confirming who he is. And then the second question we always keep before us, and who are you? Who are you? Right? Because we get confused about who we are. And when I say that, I'm talking about my place, my identity. Because if our story is somebody's told you that you suck, and somebody's told you that that you're worthless, and somebody's told you that you amount to nothing until you fix yourself, right? And we've talked about this so much, right? But that's God's not looking at you going, ugh, you poor, pitiful person, right? He's actually enjoying, he enjoys you.
Right.
He loves you. He's proud of you. He's excited about you. And he's doing this to your face. Like, you're in there somewhere. Come on, wake up. you would know who you are in the midst of this. You know, the earth has always belonged to God. Sometimes there's crazy teaching out there that says, well, right now Jesus went away, and when he comes back, but right now it's kind of like it's anybody's game. It's sort of like, you know, hell-bent, it seems like. Look, God never evacuated the earth. God, it's always belonged to him, right? The earth has always belonged to him. In fact, in some, the verse, the scripture I opened up with this morning about a clean heart came out of Psalms 24. Let me open up just that verse to you. Because Psalms 24 in verse 1, it says this, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Any confusion there?
No.
Who's the earth? The earth is his, right? But the great gift was, is he gave it to you, right? It's like, he says, now take care of it. It's like the earth is his, and he gave you this very unique assignment. He delegated authority. He said, to go take care of this place in his name, under his authority, right? And scripture makes it clear, the earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24:1, all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell therein. But he gave this assignment of taking care of this to you. Yep, you, right? He gave, oh yeah, and Adam, you, right? And he says this, it's like also in Psalms, again, yay David, he says, "The heaven, even the earth are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the children of men." The son, another, right, says sons of man. He gave it to his kids, right? And he gave it to us and said, now go take care of this. Now, here's where we get confused. We go, but sin, right? It's like sin entered into the equation. What did sin do? Sin didn't disqualify you. Sin confused you. Sin lied to you about that second question, who are you? Sin was a set of blinders on you. Sin was this deceiving voice in your head that says, that's not your assignment. That says, you're not a son, you're not a daughter. In fact, it accused you of being so informal with the Lord, right? Like, how dare you think that you could be in such a familiar relationship with him, right? Sin did that. That's all sin was. Sin was this thing. And you know what happens when you get confused about who you are? You do stupid things.
Right.
Because you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to validate yourself somehow. You're trying to, like, control, to manage, like, this, I don't know who I am. And so you try to plug the holes in your sinking ship, so to speak. You try to, like, go take in your own hands to satisfy yourself, right? But can you see that that's just the result of your confusion? Sin is you don't know who we are, right? That other stuff is just the fruit of that confusion, right? Anyway, sin did get in the way because we got confused about what our assignment was. We got distracted about, he said, hey, I need you to take care of this place in my name. I need you with the authority I've given you to go manage these things. And so just because we're confused, that mandate, that assignment, isn't taken away.
Right.
The mandate we have, this divine assignment to do these things, is there. It's part of that as we wake up to, oh, this is who I am. All of a sudden you realize, oh, that's right, sitting on the shelf next to you. It's like, oh, this is what I do with that, right? And the key, it's part of the story I was thinking about, has everything to do with your willingness to step into this relationship with him. You know, when you know who you are, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, and I know who he is, he's Father, he's God, he's Lord of all, and it's like when I know who I am in this relationship, I know what I'm stepping into, I know what authority I've got, I'm under him, right? When I know how that is, it's like all of a sudden I go, oh, I get how this works now under his authority. Do you remember this story of this centurion? He's a Roman soldier, Roman leader of soldiers, okay? It's in Matthew 8. Let me go there real quick. In Matthew chapter 8, I'll start in verse 5, but we'll focus on verse 8 and 9. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. The backstory is he was actually assaulted. He was like, a major accident or something with bad people, but he is literally on a deathbed, so to speak, from his injuries. Okay, and he said, my servant is home, lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. This is the key, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Verse 9, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. That the centurion knew the value of walking in this what his assignment was and what authority he had in this order.
Yeah.
Right? And that's always been God's master design, right? He created everything. He ultimately owns everything. He's our ruler. And then Genesis tells us that man and women were created in his image. Let's not forget that. That's key, right? And we're granted authority, mm-hmm. right, over all the earth. And they were designed to rule in the nature and in the likeness of God. Okay? The benefit, let me say it this way, our only ability to release the benefit of that rule, right, is when, or maybe I'll say this, the degree to which that benefit is released through us, okay, is our willingness to be in that connection with him, with his rule over us. In other words, as we step into the security of this relationship with him, Father and Son, right? We're not distracted running over here, I'll take care of it. Wait, I'll role manage this. As we're willing to step in this relationship right here, right, it establishes there's a benefit we have of his authority in us, right? His rule through us as we walk in that relationship, right? Genesis, he tells us in Genesis, he said, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. You know what he says next? Fill the earth and, the word is, subdue it. Okay, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Fun word, subdue. By the way, it implies a forceful subjugation. Right? So in this word subdue, it has to do with overcoming something. It has to do with one of the words when I was studying the word subdue, it was the word quieten. I've never heard that word before. Quieten. Q-U-I-E-T-E-N. Come on, teacher. Ever heard it?
Yeah.
I have never had to look it up. Good old Webster helped me out. Quieten. It means to make or become quiet or calm. Hmm. Quieten. I immediately thought of the verse of Jesus in the boat, right? When he's sleeping in the storm. It's like subjugate. It's like, you know, part of subjugating is here, it's like, I'm not going to be ruled by fear.
Right.
I'm not going to be ruled by COVID chaos.
Right.
I'm not going to be ruled by political tormentors, right or left, Republican or Democrat, right?
Right.
Come on. Don't you get, you turn on the news, you go, oh, make it stop. Right? And I forget what side, I don't care what side you're on. It's like, make it stop. It's like, it is tormenting, right? Quieten. Subjugate means to like bring it under control. Okay? So the assignment they had was to subjugate the things, right? So what's going on, right? So he's telling them this in the garden. So in case you didn't know, the garden wasn't the whole world, okay? Garden of Eden, there were boundaries, right? So here's this place in the Garden of Eden. Let's just say it's got the climate of heaven. How about that? Any disagreement there? It has a culture of heaven. Right? There's the DNA is of him. His presence is in this place, right? He's there. Mm-hmm. He's there. And outside the boundaries of that place, Scripture goes on to describe it as a chaotic place, right? A messy place. And so beyond the borders of the garden, there's a planet that is lacking order. Divine authority, order, right? A world that's lacking. It's a chaotic world, and here we are. Here's the incubator of heaven, right? And so God's, you could say, Eden's like God's model. Right? For it's like this culture, this is my desire to fill the earth. Okay? And the assignment he gave mankind was, hey, take this, bring this order out there. Take that those things that are chaotic and subdue them, quieten them. Mm-hmm. All right? Calm them. Bring that disorder into order. Right, and so the first assignment given to man and woman, Adam and Eve, right, was go be about that business. When Jesus is speaking on the hillside, remember this in Matthew chapter 6, and it follows the Beatitudes. We've all been taught, listen to preaching on the Beatitudes, but it leads us into this where he teaches us how to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, he tells us that it would be on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's his will. So it's the same thing we see in the garden, right? What are we doing? He says, your assignment is to go bring this, right? We've got this incubator of the culture of heaven, the climate of heaven. And he says, now go and subjugate the chaos. Go bring that messy place into this order, right? And he tells us, it's like, bring earth, bring heaven, take this place, carry it into this place of earth. Come and subjugate earth. Come and release heaven's order in earth, okay? And so the first man, the first woman, their commission was to, hey, here's the model. Take this model, and anything that doesn't look like the model, subjugate it. Everything that doesn't look like it has this climate, everything that doesn't look like it has this structure about it, everything that doesn't look like it's operating in this authority. Okay. So God's, well, more than that, he says, confront the things that aren't of this order. Right? So it's like there are going to be things that not just are chaotic, but they're actually opposing this order. Right? So one of the things that Jesus does is when he comes and he's like, he came to help you answer that second question, right? Or both of them. Who's God? Who are you? Jesus came to help you know, because we did not see him as Father. And if you can't see him as Father, understanding him as a son is an impossible do.
Oh.
Right? You will because we didn't see him as Father, it was impossible, literally impossible, to understand who you are as a son or a daughter. Right? That's the beauty of Jesus. That's the power of the cross. Right? Is he's releasing this relationship. Right? So our this assignment we have is never ever been revoked, never been taken away. Okay? God created you to bring disorder into order. Okay? Right? Here's a thought I was having. You know, in the garden, there was no seminary. There was no church. There was no religious set of DVDs. Right? There was no printed word. There was no Bible. There was no
law.
There was no law, right? So you're like, wait a second. How is it possible? How is this man and woman supposed to do this thing about order when they have no instruction, they have no tools, they've got no books, they got no preachers, no priests, no pastors telling them what to go do? You can chew on that this week. John gave the answer, by the way, when in John 15, and we have been enjoying this one, when he says, look, you want the answer to connection? You want the tool to how you're supposed to do this? He says, rest. He says, abide.
Right.
He says, just be quiet with him and just enjoy him. And in that space, right, it's what David's saying, you know, in Psalm 24, just that clean up. Avoid, get your head out of the chaos, get your head out of the confusers over here, out of the noise factory, and just the clean heart says, I just want you, right? Mm-hmm. Genesis actually talks about it this way. It talked about them being in the garden with the Lord. I think the language was in the cool of the day. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, it has this Hallmarkish kind of view about it of just being together, right? Right? Just being together. Oh, come on. I'll go there. Genesis 3. 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What did sin do? What was the cost of sin in the garden? The Lord's looking for his partner. The Lord's looking for the one he's to be with. And where were we? Adam and his wife hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They're literally hiding in the bushes. That's you want to see the impact of sin? Has anybody been shot yet? Nope. Nobody's been, no protests, no fires have been set. Nothing's been destroyed. The cost of sin is right here. They disconnected from presence. They disconnected from the relationship. They disconnected from being together. That's it right there. This is, you want to see a definition of sin? That's it. I don't need anything that says about homosexuality or about abortion. Or those are all just acts. Those are fruits of this confusion right here. They were broken in the relationship, right? Look, the emphasis that Jesus gave us, the emphasis in the garden, it was never on principles. It was never on a list of rules. It was never on a doctrine. It was never on a law. The emphasis has always, always, always been on a person.
Right.
Okay.
So good.
When we know who he is, when we know what he's like, when we know what his life is like, right? It's like that I get so familiar with the model that when I'm confronted with something that's not that, right, I know what to do about it. I literally know, oh, this isn't him. Right? Our challenge today for the world is confusion with the model, right? if you take the model out of that picture, what do you do with crazy? What do you do with the fear? What do you do with, because we don't know what we're fixing. We don't know what's displaced. We don't know what's wrong here. Because our reference, our true north, so to speak, right? And so Jesus is like, Jesus is our true north. Jesus, all he does is point us to the Father. He's bringing us back into this relationship. It's not going to be through textbooks, right? It's not going to be because we've got a rule book in front of us. It's that Holy Spirit's poking. It's that, that waking up. Oh, this is who you are. And when you see who you are, it's like, now the challenge is to just, we've had so many other things in our life telling us, lying to us. And that's why if you look at all of Paul's letters, he's like, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. That's not you. That's not you. Right? This is who you are. Right? And we step back into this place of you know, really just kind of like getting back into the groove. We're just coming back into connection, right? Look. God didn't mess up in the garden. That was not a, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. Now plan B, right? This has always been the design, right? And the beauty of it was, as we wake up to like this thing of who we are, when we realize, wow, this is Jesus kind of like at the cross shows you the security of your victory. He shows you the stability of your identity. He shows you through the cross that this is like a not a temporal thing. This is not a this is an eternal thing. You are taken care of eternally, right? Your position before the Father is totally, totally secure. Okay. That's important because one of the conflicts of the church, because is what, we don't feel secure. Mm-hmm. We don't feel safe in, I know I'm a son. I know I'm a daughter. I know what my assignment is. And if we don't know that, if we don't have security in that,
right,
then our war, so to speak, is getting there.
Right.
It's like, we know this is what victory, this is the ultimate place of victory. And we're like, we think our journey is, oh, get there, right? And Darla and I have talked like this before. We said we're warring for victory,
right?
And Jesus says, stop it. It's like, no, you're there. You're actually warring from victory,
right? Yeah.
Right.
Don't ever leave that.
What?
Don't ever leave it.
Yeah. We're not heading to a place of victory. We're launching from a place of victory.
Right.
Okay. He's already paid all the costs. He's already dealt with all your past. He's already kind of like healed, forgiven, released all of that clumsiness, all the confusion you have been living under. That's why he says, you're as far as the east is from the west. He says all that cloak of sin you've been walking under, that thing that's lied to your identity, I dealt with that. Right? Anybody who's, you know, it's almost like you've got this, sorry, like this little, you know, mind thing comes on, click. And he says, look, we took care of that. Now you can go be my son. And we go, oh yeah, but we put it back on. We put that confuser shell back on. That one, anyway.
Super good.
Yeah. And I'll just, here, give me 2 minutes and I'll close quick. But, because I wanted to say this thought. I was thinking of, okay, I get it, Danny. That's our assignment to rule. I get it. We're supposed to be from victory. But yet, I don't, what is this thing that's causing me to be, I still feel like I have to grow up into this. I still feel like I have to pay penance. I still feel like I have to offer something to get me to this point, okay? I'll probably teach on it more, but I would like to tell you that the issue, it has to do with just maturity. Okay, it has to do with maturity. You're not broken. It's not that you don't know enough.
Yeah.
It has to do with maturity. And here's my example. Would Lisi or Adam give little Luke a knife?
Oh, no.
A knife. A sharp, a kitchen knife. Big blade sharp. Why wouldn't they give it to him?
Because it's not safe.
What happened?
He would cut himself.
He could cut himself. He could cut you, right?
Yeah.
Is it that Luke's a bad person?
Oh, no.
Right. What? There's going to be a pattern in Luke's life where he's going to grow up and some things are going to happen in his body. One of them is going to be the ability to hold on to that knife well.
Right.
Another part of it's going to be his mind's going to say, oh, don't grab the blade, hold it down here. Other parts of him are going to grow up and he's learning, dexterity. I know how to hold the piece of fruit here and do this. And so there's a seasoned practice of, Luke wasn't broken.
Right. He just was immature.
He's immature, right. He's growing up into this. Look, I love the Lord because
so good.
He, in your journey, you know that Shelley's journey is different from Angie's journey. It's different from Becky's journey. It's different from Darla's journey. And Shelley's going to get this time in her quiet time where it's like, this aha, something wakes up. You're reading in scripture and it's like, Shelley, I have something to show you. And you know that what the Holy Spirit showed her is like perfect for Shelley.
Right.
And she's going to come and tell Darla, oh, I got this. And something in Darla might go, oh. Or she might go, I've been waiting for that answer. But there's like, and then Darla's got things and the Lord's going to give her. Each of you are maturing in your own way.
Yeah.
You're learning how to walk in your own way. You're learning how to process in your own way.
Yeah.
You're getting things in your heart that are being exposed and revealed that nobody else has your past. Nobody else has your hurts. Nobody else, right? So each one of us has this thing inside of us that's maturing and growing and learning. And we're waking up to who we are, who he is, and what we're about, what we can go handle and do. Look, some people like Dave are ready to go pray for the guy on his deathbed and, you know, and see him resurrected. And other people are like, that terrifies me. Are you broken? No. You're waking up to this revelation of who he is inside of you, right? The Israelites, when they're going into the promised land, you know that the Lord says he would, I'll summarize it, Reader's Digest it, incrementally give you this place, but it's going to be through conflict. It's going to be through conflict here and conflict here and growth here, and some of that span years upon years upon, right? Do you know that one of the reasons that why he does that? It's like they're maturing into who they are, who he is, how this relationship works together. Because he knew that if I just give my kids everything right now, right, they're going to crash and burn. They are going to crash and burn. Right? So it says, in fact, in Deuteronomy it says this, the Lord God will drive out the nation before you little by little. Right? So I just wanted to encourage you. Don't be distracted by, but Becky's got this great revelation. I wish I had that. And Shelley has this wonderful heart for this, and I don't have that. Right? It's like, enjoy what he's showing you. Enjoy what you're walking in. Incubate it. Grow it. Water it. Practice it. Right? But trust the Lord that he's revealing to you exactly what you need when you need it. All right? And I wasn't going to go that way, but I just want to... I'll stop, sort of, I guess. Okay. You have a mandate. It's never been revoked. You have an assignment. It's never been changed. Right? The thing God says to go subjugate the chaos, bring it into order with divine order. what does that look like? He told the disciples, do what I'm doing, right? He told them to go preach and let them all know the kingdom's at hand.
Yeah.
Right? He said, make sure, go out and let them know the kingdom's here, right? Divine order is here in front of your chaos. He said, go heal the sick. He told them to cleanse the lepers. He told them to drive out the demons. He told them to open the blind eyes, right? He said, freely give.
Yeah.
Freely you've received.
Right.
Freely give it.
Right.
Right. That's what David's saying in the psalm, by the way. Come on, wake up, you living ones. You divine destined ones. Boom, explode on the scene with who he is inside of you. That's what David's singing in the psalms to us.
Yeah,
right?
That's awesome.
So, and Jesus says, you know, later in John, I can't remember where it was, when he says, and he breathed on the disciples, right? His breathing on them was peace to you. In other words, again, I keep getting the moment in the boat when he's in the storm, and he just declares peace in the midst of chaos. It's like, can't you see a bunch of scared disciples that are getting ready to be unleashed on the world? And they're gonna walk around and do these things. He said, go do these powerful things. This is your assignment. This is what divine order looks like. This is what it looks like when I know who I am as a man under authority and in connection with the Father. But there has to be something inside of him that's like, yikes, right? And he says, and he breathes on him and he says, peace. Look, and he just says the simple thing. He says, look, just as the Father sent me,
right,
I'm sending you.
Right.
They had to have been like this. Like, what? Like, just as the Father, everything Jesus did, yes, divine, but everything he did as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, living in relationship with the Father.
That's awesome.
Your assignment,
right.
A man filled with the Holy Spirit, living in relationship before the Father. And he tells them, so from that place, he says, just be receivers, receive the Holy Spirit, he tells them. So everything that you do it because Jesus showed us, this is what it looks like to live as a man dependent on the Father, right? You know, I love those bracelets, the what would Jesus do, right? But usually, we're thinking this part two of the equation, which is, well, Jesus fed him, Jesus took care of him, Jesus loved him. And so we tell ourselves, oh, go do the compassion thing, go do the love thing, go do the walk with them thing, right? That's part two of the equation. Part one was not, I don't do anything apart from what he,
right,
from being with him. I don't do anything apart from connecting with him. I'm not saying anything that he's not saying, right?
Right.
But what would Jesus do? I think we forget the part that the bracelet should say is, so rest.
Yeah.
What would you, just rest.
Mm-hmm.
Just connect.
Part
with him.
Two,
just,
out of part.
Yeah, part,
yeah.
Just abide. What would Jesus do? Abide. That was his big message, just abide, just, right? Everything's gonna come out of abiding. Everything's gonna come out of connecting. So,
right.
So I just release a peace word on you this morning, we just say, Father, just pour water, pour living water onto our hearts and our minds and our bodies today, God. Show us what rest looks like this week. Show us what connection with you looks like. Show us what abiding looks like. Show us what peace looks like. Free from distraction. Show us what it looks like to live in a moment where fear doesn't get a vote. God, so we just release Holy Spirit into the homes in this room. God, that you would breathe on them, that their hearts are stirred, their relationship is woken up, God, that they just live in the security of the Father over them, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.